listening to the Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 394. Okay, the Lord's here with the one, the only, the... I still can't decide what to say about you. You're never caffeinated enough. I know you're tired. You're my grumpy polar bear daddy. And I love you, John Brownstone. That's all I got. That's all I got.
Good. Then I'm doing my job because I'm keeping you guessing.
I've said it all. I've said all there is to say about you. That's it. Yep. Okay, we're done here.
No. Okay. Bye.
No, this week we're answering relationship questions again, and from Therapy Jeff again. We did that the last time we did a Therapy Jeff one was, I think, a couple of question ones ago, and these are the warm and fuzzy kind, according to Therapy Jeff. So either we're gonna come across as ridiculously grossly cute, or we're gonna be the goofballs we are and forget that this is supposed to make anybody warm and fuzzy. May the odds
now,
be ever in
I'm
our favor.
Warm, but I don't know if I'm very fuzzy.
I shaved yesterday, so I'm less fuzzy than usual. So, you know, there's that. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. And yeah, it's like this all the time. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Monday and Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. You can also follow the show on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, the PC stands for podcast, on Instagram and Threads at that handle I will forever fucking hate with the passion of a thousand suns. LovingDS and the number one, so at LovingDS1, or on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. Big thanks, as always, to our kinky patrons over on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We're able to keep doing this weird-ass thing on the internet in large part because of our kinky patrons, and we are so fucking grateful to every one of you. If you'd like to join our kinky community and get access to extra content and a Discord server, what are words, with a group of super cool, super nice kinksters, you can do that. Join us at patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords, or use the link in the show notes. Okay. Before we get into the questions we're going to answer, we do have an announcement.
Yes.
I have to adjust my seat because I felt like I was like sliding down. And it is like a legit announcement. This is one of those times where I hope if you are a person who does other things in the background, like you give us like a little bit of your attention and then you can go back to having us be background noise. Starting next week, May 8th. I double checked the calendar so I could get the day right. We are going to be changing the time of day we live stream. So podcast listeners, you will not feel any effect. Your podcast episode will come out on Fridays, as it always does. For anybody who watches the video instead of the live stream, it will be delayed. But live stream folks will absolutely be impacted by this. So for the past few years, we've been live streaming midday through the summer in this room, in this office, that gets very, very hot in the middle of the day. And we've just decided we don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
So we're definitely doing this for the summer. We do not know if it will continue beyond the summer. But starting next week, May 8th, we will start live streaming at 7 p.m. Eastern. Yes, we know that that means there will be some people who cannot attend, probably because of time zone, probably because of work, probably because of kids. And we are very sorry for that. We don't want to have anybody miss an opportunity that they would like to have. But also, we would like to stop being nauseous while we're live streaming. So, and that was a time that worked with our personal schedule. Yeah. It wasn't too late at night for us. And just, yeah. So next week, 7 p.m. Eastern. Will I probably forget how all of this works because we will have changed the time? Yes. Yep. Yes, it will be. It will be probably wild. Certainly chaotic. If we enjoy it, we haven't discussed it like fully, but I think we're both sort of open to the idea. If we like that change, we may keep it.
Yeah.
If we are like, meh, kind of like give or take, we might switch back once the weather cools. What you have to understand is this is Florida. The weather doesn't actually really cool down until late October, sometimes as late as mid-November. Yeah. So our summers last about 6 months.
Yeah.
So the video playback will always be available on the live stream. You know, the Friday podcast episode, that's none of that's changing. You know, it might mean that maybe you get to watch the live stream when you couldn't before. We will miss anybody who, you know, their schedule just doesn't allow for it. But yeah, it's, we just didn't want to, do another summer of it, this.
You know, you got to understand, this room, the office that we use, from morning till probably about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, this room gets full sun.
Yeah, it does.
Then you bring in the fact we have three computers running at any given time in here, and then you throw in the lights for their, you know, and everything, and it brings up the ambient temperature in here.
Yep. So, and with last summer was record temps, like most of the world experienced. I don't see why this summer will be any different. We're just moving it. So yeah, that's the thing. I will try to put out as many reminders in all other places that I communicate with people as possible. So that, you know, folks who want to watch the stream have like just reminders. I don't expect you to remember a thing just because we said it once. Like, that's just not how the world works. So, yeah, that was the announcement. We are keeping our Friday night monthly virtual munch thing the same. Mm-hmm. We are on YouTube getting closer to 10,000 followers, our arbitrary goal. There will be a special live stream for that when that occurs. So, yeah, that is the announcement. Mm-hmm. We're shifting the time of our live streams on Wednesdays. Now it's time, when JB gets back to his seat, to answer the questions. So we've done relationship questions several times over since I discovered that this was a thing that I could, you know, use for my own content. And we are back to taking questions that Therapy Jeff posed on the internet. Now, Therapy Jeff is probably huge on TikTok. I know him from Instagram because that's where I frequent. But apparently he's also got a podcast, which I kind of want to like
check out
because I love how he gives advice. And I agree with much of it. I mean, some of it's applicable to kinksters and some of it's like, meh, nah. But like, his sense of humor is kind of interesting to me. Apparently he also has a Patreon where he does even more, but I'm a broke ass bitch, so I'll just stick to the free stuff. And actually, it's funny. I'd saved the reel. I've linked the reel for anybody who wants to watch it and go check him out on Instagram. And I was copying down the questions that he posed and saw that, like, within the past 24 hours of doing that and going, writing these questions, this is what we're going to answer, he had just posted a thing of, like, some number of spicy questions to ask your partner, and I'm not in a spicy frame of mind today, so no, we're gonna go with warm and fuzzy. I think JB and I could use warm and fuzzy. We've had to be very goal-oriented and very serious and very like problem-solving mode, and there's not been a lot of warm and fuzzy. Except when I get the zoomies at night when we're trying to go to sleep. And then it's not warm fuzzy, it's silly and goofy. I made myself laugh at myself so hard I cried last night, and I think I made JB question all of his decisions upon meeting me.
Every single one.
So we could use some warm and fuzzy, but maybe when we do this again in the future, we'll do some spicy ones. Right. So these are supposed to make us feel good. These are not supposed to be like too dang serious. My thing for anybody watching, if you're like, okay, how am I supposed to like apply this to my life? Feel free to do these exercises with a partner that you've got that you're like, yeah, let's have some fun. And he does that pretty frequently in his content. Like if you go through and scroll, there's all kinds of questions. He's like, you should ask each other these questions. So it's kind of fun. Okay, so we're going to get into it. The first question is kind of a for each of us individually, but I think we can answer it together. When did you realize you'd fallen for each other? So when did you know you had fallen for me and I was your person or one of your people?
I think for me, it was pretty much just prior to our first time meeting in person.
Oh, did something specific happen? Or are you just like, it came to you?
It just kind of, yeah. And I remember thinking that, you know, I was looking forward to the visit because I was hoping that you were everything that I thought you were.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard when you're...
Yeah.
Even though we were physically speaking, we were talking on the phone. It wasn't just text and email. Yeah. It's hard to know. Hard to know. I've talked about this a few times in the past. I'll say it again here. The real time I understood, I think, I couldn't have really elaborated or explained it well, but I understood on a gut level, it was before, obviously before we met in person, and it was before I admitted it out loud. So I actually have two times to say. The first time I really, really realized it was when you and I were having a conversation. Our power exchange was platonic and friendly. It was very minimal, but we were talking all the time. And I was still even like casually like going out with people, like not in it. I wasn't in anything serious. I didn't want anything serious. So you knew I was seeing other people and having hookups, which I could then come back and go, oh my God, let me tell you what I just did in the backseat of that car. It was bad. That was a rental car. I should be ashamed of myself. But we could talk about stuff like that, and we did. And you and I started talking about, you know, if I met somebody that I, you know, wanted to be in a long-term relationship with and they were my dominant, and you're all like, well, another dom is probably not going to like you being friends with me, a dom. Now I would go, that's toxic as fuck. That's not, I don't want to be in a relationship with that type of person. But at the time, that made total sense to me based on what I understood. Certainly heterosexual male dom, female sub power exchange to look
like. And for me, having been being predominantly exposed to high protocol,
we absolutely categorically reject it now, but actually having that conversation was a very good thing because the moment I had to think about some nameless, faceless man that I hadn't met yet telling me I couldn't be friends with, he was not known as John Brownstone at the time, but John Brownstone, I went, oh, that's not acceptable. I'm not okay with that. I got mad. So I think that was when in my head I went, yeah, this is something. Then... when I admitted it was right before we visited. We physically met one another in March, like mid to late March. But in February, Valentine's Day, you sent me a gift.
Yeah.
Also, in between, I think Valentine's Day and meeting, I had something good happen to me at work. I can't remember what it was. You sent me flowers to congratulate me. And I was not used to that kind of treatment. I was like, oh my God, the person I shared an office with was so happy for me. But I kept saying out loud, yeah, but I don't know if this is anything. I don't know. And she looked at me. She was very no-nonsense. She looked at me and she was like, she said, do you pay attention to yourself? The man just sent you flowers twice and you are beaming over there. Who are you fooling thinking this isn't anything? She was like, imagine he was not part of your life. And apparently my face crumpled. And I went, no, I don't want to imagine that. And she said, I think you have your answer. She's from the UK and she's very like proper sounding British. And I was enamored with her accent. And it just like struck me. And I was like, okay, I'm living in a little bit of denial here because I didn't want to get my heart broken again. And it was easier to kind of like pretend there was a distance. There definitely was not. So yeah, I get to have two moments in my mind that are very clear.
All right.
Okay. So next question. Beyond my appearance, and I don't think that was a draw, but whatever. What really caught your eye about me in the beginning?
Well.
And does it count because we met online?
Yeah.
We didn't know anything physical about one another. It was all mental. But then we did get to like physically meet. So pick whichever one.
So, I mean, for me, I'm what caught my eye about you early on. You understood my sense of humor.
Well, I was going to say what caught my eye was your sense of humor.
See?
You were fucking hilarious. You were so funny. You were so funny. Apparently, dad jokes will get you into my pants, but once you're there, then I'm like, oh, God, stop with the dad jokes. They worked once. They're not allowed to work again. I mean, that's not fair, but still. Yeah, because we met through our blogs, and it was at about the holidays. Like, it was December, I guess. And you were posting a naughty slash kinky Elf on a Shelf photo series.
Yes.
It was delightful. It was, I mean, I thankfully skipped the Elf on the Shelf stuff with my kids. So fucking grateful. And I knew immediately upon seeing Elf on the Shelf that I was grateful for that. But seeing it done in an adult manner, in a very tongue-in-cheek, like, yeah, I know what I'm doing kind of way, it was delightful. But I only saw that because you commented on my blog, where I was bleeding all over the screen. I was in such heartbreak. And that was back in the day when if somebody commented, I went to see, well, who are you and what are you doing? Yeah. And I got to see your blog, and I was like, and we just started talking. Mm-hmm. But yeah, your sense of humor was the first thing. The second thing, because it goes hand in hand, really, because it was all part and parcel of our first few interactions, was how kind you are. Like, that's the thing that still strikes me. I'm a raging bitch. Is it mostly in my head because I'm a people pleaser who has real, real bad issues about conflict? Yeah, but in my head, I'm a bitch from hell. I think most people would not like me very much. JB is legitimately, genuinely kind. Now, can he have strong opinions and think that somebody's an asshole? Of course. But if you get to a point where you've made John fucking Brownstone think you're a douche canoe, honey, you need to reevaluate your life, because the nicest human being on the planet thinks you're shit. Okay? Like, you will never be right in that scenario. Like, I still remember back in the day before I corrupted him, how rare it was for him to say fuck. Okay? Like, you knew he was super mad if he said fuck. I've corrupted him. That's less of an issue. But yeah, your kindness has always been to me like, like, it's a little intimidating because I know I'm a bitch from hell. But yeah, so you were funny and then you were kind. Like, you didn't try and hit on me. I don't even, I'd have to go back and look at the old post where you started commenting, but I remember your comments being thoughtful and kind. Mm-hmm. Then our interactions off of that, when I was the one that reached out, which was weird, never do that again, but I'm glad it worked out. You know, you were just always, because there's nice and there's kind, right? Like, you're a nice person, but you actually back up being nice with kindness, because nice is like you're the persona, right? You say the polite things, but you back it up with kindness. You will be there for somebody. You will genuinely listen to them. You will, you know, validate their feelings. I don't know how a crusty old bitch like me got you, but grateful for. I guess there just has to be balance in the universe. You're my balance? I don't know.
That's pretty extreme if I'm your balance.
I know, right? Okay. Wow. Let's see. Next one. What do you think some of my greatest strengths are? Oh, no. I'm sorry. You don't have to lie. It's okay.
Actually, on seeing that question, the first thing I came up with was how you bolster me. Okay. You're always there in my corner, you know, rooting for me, cheering me on.
I'll cut a bitch for you, don't worry. Probably go to jail for you. Just saying.
I mean, you know, establish dominance quickly. I don't have, you know, money to bail you out.
Sorry. God, no, I'm screwed, okay? you might want to start a GoFundMe, okay? I'm just saying. You know, I am genuinely offended that you have not had enough people in your life that, like, backed you up and were your personal cheerleader. You're too fucking nice for that. Kind, I should say. I prefer kind. And see, to me, one of your greatest strengths is your kindness. People will work with you and talk to you and offer information and advice and, like, want to help you. Why? Because you're a good guy. Like, you know, even though I know that you're dying on the inside because a random stranger decided your face was the face they were going to tell their whole life story to, you will listen to them and you will engage with them and you'll be like, and they've like feel like they've made a connection to you. You'll come inside and go, oh my fucking God. But, you know, and next thing you know, we've got neighbors who are like, how's John doing? I saw him wearing his back brace again. I'm like, first of all, I don't even know your fucking name. I know all about your house. And if you've got a dog, I'm probably on a first name basis with them. But, you know, like that, to me, that is one of your strengths. You are, in a quiet way, I'm the loud version of this. You are the very quiet version of this. You are very tenacious. If you decide you can do a thing or you're willing to try to do a thing, you get it in your teeth and you don't let go. I am similar. We're very similar in that way. But I am chaotic and loud and brash, and I'm dropping some F-bombs because I'm frustrated, and it's going to be messy. You just quietly go about doing shit and getting it done.
I just kind of like, you know, quietly go off in my corner and,
Next thing you know, you're like, here's my masterpiece I've been working on. And I'm over here with dried tears on my face, 85 post-it notes, 33 tabs open per browser. And I'm like, got half a project to show for it. But, you know, we each get there in our own way.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, you just, I don't know, like, you don't have a greatest strength. You have lots of, like, damn good strengths. I love you. That's all I'm saying. Okay. What is your favorite thing for us to do together?
I know this is going to sound really, really stupid, folks. But I love when we run errands together.
I like that, too. It's not my favorite thing, but I like that, too.
I mean, you know, we get so little time to genuinely be together and just, you know, enjoy one another. And I know, you know, sounds silly. You're running errands. You're shopping. You're doing this. But I enjoy that time together. I look forward to it.
Okay. So I agree. I agree. It was very strange when I went to the grocery store without you yesterday. Like, it used to be that it was like, oh, look, peace and quiet. I'm in with my own thoughts for a little bit. And now I'm like, nope, this is wrong. I'm missing part of my soul right now. What's happening? And yet I am also not deep enough for this question, because when I saw this question, the first thing I thought was anything where JB is touching my butt. Rubbing it, there for it. Smacking it, yes, please. Yeah. Chasing me through the house wanting to pinch that and or my nipples, okay. Like, yeah. Admiring it, hitting it in that way just to see the jiggle. Like, just to, I mean, and there's a lot there, and there's not a lot of muscle tone anymore. It's all fucking jiggle. And he'll just like get into a rhythm, and I know he's not saying anything. I can't see him. He's behind me. I know what he's doing. It's just like he's hypnotized by the way it moves. And I'm like, I'm good. Is it the attention? Is it that it just, anything you do to my butt feels real good, at least on the outside? I don't know. Is it because it's one of my like serious kinks? I don't know. But yeah, you're all like deep and thoughtful, and I just want to spend time running errands. And I'm like, no, I need you to touch my butt. It is one of those things where I'm not much for, you know, public displays of affection. Mm. Like, I don't dislike it, but it's not a thing I gravitate towards. I'm like, no, you could touch my butt in public. Like, some people like it when a masculine partner touches, like, their lower back with consent, right? And they find that sexy. And I do. I find that, like, kind of endearing. But I'm like, no, you can go lower. I got an ass down there. There's a lot of it. There's plenty to grab. It's go for it. It's good. What would I do if you actually did that in public outside of a kink space? I don't know. But I would probably melt right there in the middle of Aldi's, is what I'm saying. And I don't think anybody signed up for that. Okay. What is your happiest memory with me, and what made it so special? I think it's okay if you don't pick just one, if a couple things come to mind.
Because a couple things came to my mind.
You know, again, and it's one of those things that may sound odd, but to me, it meant a lot. After we were living in the apartment and we bought the condo, you and I renovated it.
And we stayed together through the process. We didn't hate one another at the end of it.
And, you know, we did it together. And yeah, you know, we didn't beat each other up or, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we fussed at one another a couple times.
Sure, yeah.
It helped. We had some weird ass neighbors, so like we could like turn our frustration away from each other and into the solidarity of what the fuck is wrong with that bitch. Like it was helpful, I think.
Yeah.
Look, she came peering in through our bedroom window, which was at the back of the condo in what was amounted to our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God we weren't getting freaky in there.
Right.
Just painting a damn wall.
Yeah. But you know, yeah, the fact that we did it together, we worked together. We worked very well together, and we got it done. And not only did we get it done, but we did a damn good job.
We did. I was proud of that condo.
Yeah.
I wish we could still have that house payment.
That
was delightful.
Yeah.
Even with the HOA, that was delightful. Yeah. Okay. You good?
Yeah.
Okay.
So your turn.
I've got a few.
A few.
Well, my mind is scattered, so will I remember them all? Probably not. The first one that comes to mind is from the time we first met in person.
Mm-hmm.
Against all good advice.
Yeah.
I would not recommend this for anybody, but it was what I fucking did, and it worked. I left my front door unlocked. I knew he was on his way. We'd been in communication. I was like, just walk in. Like, when you get here, you don't have to knock. Just walk in. Reason being, I was 10, 15 feet away from the front door on my knees, just wearing a button-down purple men's dress shirt, button-down, like, doing a pose, whatever. And what I wanted was to surprise him, shock the hell out of him, and then get... I don't think I knew that's what I wanted, but when I got it, I was like... Oh, I never not want to get that reaction. He literally gasped. Like, it was like this low, like he wasn't, we were still too new with one another and we weren't, I don't think, comfortable with each other in our roles. So like he still had that thought of this is how a dom is supposed to sort of appear and be and act. And I sort of still had this, okay, this is how I'm supposed to be as a submissive. And it was more based on stereotypes than preference. And so I have always loved getting a positive reaction from people. It makes me feel really proud. And when it's like sexually charged or kinkily charged, I'm here for it. And he kept his composure. Like the moment he saw what I was doing, he understood, oh, we're playing now. But before he put on the dom voice, he did this little intake of breath, and I went, now that's fucking power. Okay, I'm fucking here for it. I have never forgotten that. Oh God, did I already let go? Oh, now I remember the other one that brings a huge smile to my face was the first time we seened and we let our daddy dom baby girl sides come into. Typically when we seen, it's very sadist masochist and or it's very like, there's no definition to this, so this is just a vibe that I feel that I wouldn't expect anybody else to kind of understand or agree with or whatever. Very much a dom sub. He's in control, and I am being a good little obedient sub. And I try to be that anyway. I want to be a good girl. That makes me happy. But when the daddy dom baby girl side, like, overlap that, we become very playful. It's very playful. It's where I'm absolutely giggling as I'm getting my ass beat, but also going, no, daddy, no, when we really know I'm like, yes, more daddy plays. And the first time we did it, it reminded me a little bit of the first time I called you daddy, when I was sort of convinced that you probably were a daddy dom and you were still a little resistant. And I was like, let's just jump out on this limb here. And I did it, and then your reaction was bigger. Like, I wasn't sure, but I felt it in my gut, and then I was right, you know. That was another one of those moments where I got giggly, and then went in my head, I was like, should I have giggled? But I giggled, and then his little sadistic daddy bratty daddy gleam got in his eye. And it's still like one of my like top kink scenes we've ever done together. And it wasn't even for like what we physically did, it was all impact. I know that much. It was because we were playing in like the truest sense at that point, like, yeah. So
okay.
Those are mine. All right. This one I think we could talk about together.
Yeah.
What was our wedding day like? Chaos!
Just like the rest of our life, chaotic.
And yet, it all went according to plan, unlike the rest of our fucking life.
Yeah.
So our wedding was kept very simple. We paid for it in cash ourselves. It cost me a grand total of about $2,500. Where we lived in the Tampa Bay area, you could get married on these dinner yacht cruise things. Mm-hmm. And it was an all one and done in the package thing. You would get married by like the ship's captain if you did not have a person. We were supposed to have a person, and then actually my aunt stepped in and ended up doing it for us because she was a notary and good. But you got married on the ship before it boarded. Your guests got to come aboard before everybody else for the ceremony. And then you got to have like your own kind of like section where you had dinner and drinks and the cake and blah, 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 blah. We have a very small group. We didn't know a lot of people, want a lot of people there. Like it was all but like one or two people that were there had no clue about our kink life. Like none. We did have a couple of kink friends there, which was nice. And it went smoothly. There was no cleanup. The most I had to worry about was I went and got my hair done and I got my makeup done. And we were still broke ass bitches then for different reasons. And so I went to the Evita school and asked for their top person, like whoever, like, you know, not just their brand new student who started 2 days ago. And I had curls in my hair and the makeup melted off very quickly. and I had a purple dress and I cheese grinned my way down the aisle.
And purple kids.
I did. Converse.
Converse, that's right.
Still have those. And had a little silvery gray like crinoline thing under the skirt so it poofed out. Oh my god. And I had not had sugar for 6 to 8 weeks prior to, so I was like at my slimmest, which was that healthy mentally, but no. But did I look really good in that fucking dress? Yes, I did. Yep. And every picture that anybody got of us from that night, cheesy fucking grin. And then somebody kept handing me drinks, and so then the grin got cheesier. And did I get on the dance floor and do the cha-cha slide and the Cupid shuffle and all of the silly little dances I know? Yes, I did. Both boys were supposed to walk me down the aisle. They got shy at the last minute, so I dragged them down the aisle.
You walked them down the aisle.
I did, because it was time. But yeah. Did we have a kink scene that night? No. Did we go to Waffle House though?
Yeah.
At midnight.
Yeah.
Apparently we got married on like homecoming night, and so all the kids had all at all the high schools.
Yeah. I mean, after the wedding was done, and you know, we boarded and everybody disembarked.
And that was the nice thing. You had a set end point for the whole damn thing, because you had to get off the fucking boat.
Right. And you know, we decided, even though we'd been, you know, partying, having some drinks and eating wedding cake and all that.
Was the wedding cake purple? Yes, the fuck it was.
But still decided, you know, let's go get a piece of cake or pie and
something.
Have a cup of coffee. And yeah, we went to two different restaurants, and apparently it was homecoming night and the restaurants were packed out. And we ended up at Waffle House.
Yep. And my mom took both kids for the night. It was supposed to be it was a kid-free night. There was no fuckery. There was no fucking. We did nothing that night except eat. And then at that point, I thought my dress was going to pop.
We were exhausted.
We were also exhausted. We were finally fucking married. Yep. that was what our wedding day was like. Okay, right now, in the here and now of our lives, what is the thing you appreciate the most about me? And then, of course, I will say the thing I appreciate most about you.
You know, for a couple of years now, we have been going through
it.
Yeah.
We have been going through it.
With a capital S. And, you know, it's been tough. And yet you are always there. You are like a rock.
You can't get rid of me, sorry.
And you know, you're just there, and you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to do it, you know, and you just keep that.
A little secret?
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't, like, change how you feel. I am, my automatic nature is to be optimistic, to believe that everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
And to know from experience, we will get through it. I don't know what through is going to look like, and I don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, but you come through everything. But I keep my optimism up when I'm not feeling it for you, because you, my lovely Cancer man, are like a crab, and you will withdraw into your shell, and you will get pessimistic, and you'll get grumpy, and you'll stop believing in what's possible.
Grumpy by nature.
So my optimism is not a constant. I don't walk around with stars in my eyes all the fucking time. And I get down, and I recently, up until like super recently, when we both got to have a little bit of hope again, I'd been questioning whether I was foolish to be so optimistic. Because it was like, have I not seen things? Have I turned away from realities because I'm being too optimistic? And yet, I know we kind of have to balance one another. Because you can go overly pessimistic, and I don't think that's useful, just as it's not useful for me to be too optimistic.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't need to be unrealistic and, like, pie in the sky bullshit and then, you know, whatever, and not admit reality. So I actually worry that you think I'm being foolish for being so optimistic sometimes. So I kind of like knowing that you're like, no, I actually appreciate it.
Yeah. Yep.
Right now, there's like about a million things I appreciate about you. That's just all wrapped up into you being John Brownstone. But in our very recent, like even this past few weeks, the thing I've appreciated the most, two things really. One, you continue to be a safe person for me to be exactly who I am. And that can mean a lot of different things from moment to moment. So like, it's why I do silly, random, weird things. I'm not worried about your reaction to any of them, even though he still does sometimes react by going, what is going on here? But I know it's not done with judgment. So like, I'm just whatever. But that is a constant and ongoing. The thing that I have appreciated the most is your willingness to have hard conversations and to give me not the space, because I've had the space to support me through me having to say things that I consider tough things to say to you. Like the other day, like just a day, 24 hours ago, I think, we kind of had to have a serious conversation. JB was saying, hey, here's a thing that's going to happen. I would like it to happen. What do you think? And he got my sort of unabridged, unadulterated feelings in the moment, which was, I support this thing, but also here's where it's still fucking tough. And I walked away from that encounter going, God, I was kind of aggressive. And when I got home, I had to like go to the store or whatever. I was like, I'm sorry if I was sort of aggressive and kind of a bitch about that. And his response was, you were none of those things. You were entirely appropriate. And all I could think was, I am like one of the luckiest humans alive that you see me for who I am and you are comfortable with it, even if when we're in the midst of uncomfortable things. And I think you know that it is kind of my gut instinct to withhold those kinds of negative feelings and to just go, it's fine, everything's fine, it's gonna be fine, we'll figure it out.
It's fine.
Well, there's also that. And so when I get firm and assertive, you don't shy away from that.
No.
You're like, you either give as good as you get, which that's then when I cry because that's the kind of person I am, or you just support me through it. You're like, you know.
Well, you know, let's put this into perspective, okay?
I'm going to get my hair clipped while you're putting things into perspective.
You talk about, you know, being aggressive, okay, in the conversation. Understand something. You have met my blood family.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
Okay? That is not aggressive.
No. No. But I, unfortunately, was raised to believe incorrectly that stating your opinion firmly is talking back, is rude, is uncalled for, is not what, you know, air quote this real fucking out, like good girls do. Like, there's a way that I was raised, I was expected to behave, and I internalized it so fucking hard. I'm like, you know what? This is painful and hard, but I'm gonna be really damn good at it. And here we are at age 44, and I find it very difficult to let go of that. And you're just like, look, I love you when you're got the zoomies at 11 o'clock at night.
Right.
I love you when you're a raging bitch at 11 a.m. So we're good. Yeah. And I think that the communication part just goes back to you being a safe person. Like, I will always appreciate about that about you. It doesn't mean you don't have, we don't disagree. And it doesn't mean you don't have your own strong opinions that are sometimes, you know, not opposite of mine, but in conflict with mine. Like, that does happen. But even then, you continue to be like, yeah, just tell me what it is. The biggest problem is not you wanting to hear from me and struggling with that. You don't struggle with that at all. The biggest problem is me getting you to tell me what you're thinking, because you still carry your old, you know, stuff from previous, you know, gotta love the trauma. But we can be that way for one another.
Yeah.
Is it like pulling fucking teeth from him sometimes? Yeah. Yeah. Do I have to tease and zoomie it out of him? Yes. He just has to look at me cross-eyed. And I'm like, let me tell you what I'm thinking right now. Okay. Next one. What parts of the relationship are going really well? I would say communication.
That's exactly the same thing I was thinking. You know, through everything that we have been going through, you know, not rightfully so, that, you know, being stressed that we haven't fussed with one another, we have. But I think the big difference in what has happened, we fuss at one another, okay? But at the end of it all, we either have a plan for a resolution, or we are working towards putting together something to, you know, resolve what we were fussing about. So, you know, yeah, definitely communication.
Yeah, and I think planning, which is part of communication, and our sense of humor. Like, it's been a few weeks, maybe longer, since we had, like, we let ourselves get so stressed that we were arguing, which neither one of us likes. Oh my God. And lately, what we've done instead is tease each other out of the definite bad mood we know the other one might be
in. The doldrums,
yeah. Right. And then we allow the other one to do that. Like, it's not as difficult as you might imagine to shut somebody's teasing down, because you're like, you know what? I don't want to fucking laugh right now. Life sucks too much. You know what? Valid. Okay. But we've been together long enough and had enough experience with this that I have, for the most part, I can kind of fight that feeling with you, because I know that if we let ourselves sink into that place, we're gonna end up in an argument that is unnecessary. Right. Because not once have we ever argued because we disagreed about the outcome we were trying to achieve. Not once in all of these years. We've argued about all kinds of stuff, but that was never one of them.
Come out the other side is like, we both want the same thing. So, right. Yeah.
Which leads me to the thing I think that's going really well in our relationship, especially right now, is teamwork and collaboration. Yeah. We are working on common goals. We are trying to do it together. We have each, in our own way, offered to, attempted to, or made actual sacrifices for the other. Not like detrimental to our health sacrifices, but doing things that if we, you know, could do something different, we would.
Yeah.
And I think we each see the effort on the other's part, and then we honor it. And then we're like, yeah, I'm mad at the world, but I will not be mad at my teammate right now. Let's be silly instead. Let's cut the tension with some humor. Because we are trying to get to the same place together, you know? And right now we're sort of in a cycle where Like, sometimes what'll happen is that all of those things will be true, but our moods are polar opposites. I'll be super hopeful and JB will be super pessimistic, which immediately sort of creates its own tension, or can anyway. And lately, I think we've each not been at the extreme of our tendencies. So JB's not extremely pessimistic. I'm not extremely optimistic. We're closer to the middle. And so then we can tease one another because we don't think the other one's making a joke out of a serious situation. Or we can sort of check in with each other and it not become contentious. Or the one that was happening for a while, I would get real hopeful and sometimes maybe incorrectly so, like not really reading the situation correctly. And instead of it frustrating him because he was like, I don't believe this thing you're being this optimistic about. He's like, yeah, okay, maybe. I've also tempered some of my optimism. It's not worked out enough fucking times over the past few years. The sort of wide-eyed, you know,
the rose-colored glasses.
Rose-colored glass, like that whole thing. I just can't even muster that right now. Yeah. Like, I'm like, actually, I'm optimistic that we will figure this out, but is it probably going to suck on the way there?
Oh, yeah.
Like, reality has done that one to me. But, yeah, I think that's what's going well.
Yeah.
Okay, we actually have two questions left.
Mm-hmm.
This one makes me a little uncomfortable, but we're going to do it anyway. Mm-hmm. What do you think most people are jealous of about your relationship? Now, let me tell you why this makes me uncomfortable. I do not like to suppose what other people think about us. That makes me very, like...
I mean, you know, thinking... I was kind of looking ahead at that question. I'm like, how can I answer that
without you know, sounding like a total asshole? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, yeah. I don't like that question. Strike that question from the books.
Therapy Jeff, I disapprove of this question.
Right.
But so. You know what? It's because we are a couple. We put a good portion of our relationship out in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's actually plausible that somebody might feel envious or jealous or whatever, pick a word. And that has always made, you know, people have said for years, we did a whole episode on why I don't like this. You know, we're relationship goals. I don't like that. If we can inspire, great. But you don't want to be exactly like us.
Right.
You need to be your best version. Yeah, I mean, over
the years, we've had a lot of people say, oh, I want a relationship just like yours.
Well, okay. I hope you don't mind being dead ass broke for several years.
Right.
And an increasing amount of debt. Have a good time. Hope you keep your sense of humor.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want anybody to be envious of us. I would like for people to have some of the things that we have in the way that suits them.
Sure.
With a potential partner. I want you to have open and clear communication, and that will be hard won. Like, you got to battle your own issues around communication, then you got to do battle with your partner's issues around communication. Right. Like, I want you to have that. I want you to have whatever your you know, best version of especially power exchange relationship is. For us, it's collaborative and there's a lot of teamwork and we're very silly. And, you know, did I get so sassy today? I thought I was going to have to run out of the room and then get chased. Yeah. Yes, I did. I remember what I said now. But yes. And I know for a fact that some of that does not, like that kind of for the sass, right? Does not work for everybody. I do think teamwork and collaboration in any flavor of power exchange is possible. I think it'll just look different. Like, if you're like a high protocol situation, or if there's an owner slave kind of dynamic and it's much more what I would consider rigid and strict, that is subjective, of course. You know, your teamwork and collaboration probably won't look anything like ours does.
Yeah.
And I don't give a fuck what it looks like. I want everybody to have the opportunity for it. Right. But I don't want you to be
happy with it.
Right. Yeah. I don't want you to be jealous about it. I want you to be like, I see that is a thing that is possible. How do I make that come to fruition in a way that is satisfying in my relationship, in the way that my relationship works? Because the thing is we are willing to talk about the not so easy parts, but we really are kind of a highlight reel. We are not going into the depths of the details of what is hard in our life right now. Mm-hmm. Like, that's for us to deal with. That is right. Not for public consumption. So we could easily give off this image of, oh, it's so fucking easy. No, it's not. The way we are approaching it through this cycle of the tough, hard part, I really think is because we've had, at this point, God, we're at 11 years, really, 11 mm-hmm. and a half years of figuring out how to work together. And to get to here, Jesus, we had to have some dumbass fights about stupid shit. Like, mm-hmm. So yeah. I don't want you to be jealous of anything.
No.
But if you think to yourself, seeing some part that we're showing you, I would like some version of that for myself. I want that for you. I just want most people to realize that it's not going to look like ours looks, because we're all different people. And the partner you have and the dynamic you have, right, and how you express yourself as a kinky person, that is going to, and what you've gone through, past relationships, childhood trauma, mm-hmm. mental illness, neurodivergence, like whatever, right? It's all going to change what that looks like. It's not going to look like ours, and it shouldn't. That would be weird. I don't mm-hmm. want a Stepford power exchange couple thing going on. Like, that's icky. So, yeah, I don't want to answer that one. Okay, good. Okay, I think this one is difficult.
Yeah.
But let us try.
Okay.
What's one thing about our relationship you'd never want to change?
One thing.
I think you can have more than one. We can break the rules here.
I mean, you know what? I'm going to put myself out on a limb. None of it. I wouldn't. I mean.
About the relationship? No. Parts of our life? Yeah. I changed the no money thing.
Well, I mean.
I changed the debt thing.
That is outside of who we are. I look at who we are in that. And there is nothing I would change about any of it. The good, the bad, the ugly.
I have learned not to say this to other people and put this on them. But in mm-hmm. my personal life, my personal beliefs about myself, where I can say whatever the fuck I want, I am the type of person who says, as shitty as some things have been, I wouldn't be the person I am today without all that shit I had to go through. And we would not be where we are in our relationship right now mm-hmm. without the shit we've gone through. We had to. Do I wish we could have skipped every ridiculous but bad argument we've ever had? Of course. Sure. But we learned how to communicate with one another
right.
through that. We learned mm-hmm. how to, you know, conflict resolution with one another.
Yes.
And we've learned some shit about ourselves.
And we've learned to argue fairly.
Yeah, we're better at it than we used to be.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't take jabs at each other. Mm-mm. You know, put each other down. We
never really did
that. We never did, but I think, you know,
that we still had that just like that gut reaction of wanting to. What we did was we would talk less. Because we were avoiding it. We didn't want to do it to one another, but we didn't know what we were supposed to say.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wish there are lots of parts of life that were a bit like just less complicated and with clear, hopeful resolutions in the future. Yes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't think anybody would
right.
yeah,
but
say
I
that.
I would not change. For the sake of the question,
mm-hmm.
the thing that I wish we were better at that we are still working on.
Okay.
We are great with our communication right now. Doesn't mean we won't fall off sometime in the future. Some new thing will come at us we won't know how to deal with. We'll have to figure it out, right? We're great on our communication. We're great on our teamwork. Our day-to-day power exchange, because we love a routine, right? We're good there.
Yeah.
If I could make something better in our relationship, it would be to make us better at prioritizing fuckery and the more outward, obvious, less routine-oriented power exchange. Do I miss the way your voice goes when you are issuing a command? Yeah. Do I also miss having the freedom to let my brain make that transition? I don't switch easy from thing to thing. And when I'm in a mindset, it is hard for me to turn and go, oh yeah. But at times when life was less complicated, it was easier. Like it might, It's always like it went in my ear, and there
less
was like
complicated to eat it. How, funny how that goes hand in hand.
Stop. He would give say something in that tone, and when things were just different than they are now, there was always a delay between hearing it and my brain computing it, but it was like a second delay, right? And so I'd process and be like, oh, I know that tone, and I could switch over. These days, I know why he doesn't do stuff like that, because you don't know what version of me you're going to get, okay? Maybe subby brain is activated, and I'm like, yeah, I'm here. What do you want?
Yeah.
Maybe business bitch, boss babe, whatever, is activated, and I'll be like, do you know what I have my to-do list right now? And it's not sexy, and it's not conducive to power exchange. And so, yeah, if there was a thing I could modify for us, it would be to get better at that part.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we talked about that in the Patreon podcast a little bit.
We do it behind the scenes.
Behind the
scenes.
And, you know, yeah, we, especially over the last few years, we have been dealing with so much stress. And, you know, it has through all that to keep going and working on the things that we were doing. That has kind of taken a side seat.
And this isn't even our first time since having this podcast where we have like complained into the ether about how, you know, what the thing that will get dropped faster is the recreational stuff. And I think that's common for a lot of people. What I'm appreciative of is the power exchange is always there. We managed to find a way to build it so it just occurs without a lot of conscious thought. There are habits and routines, and there is the way we've sort of decided to live our life as you are the decider. I might do all the legwork. I might do all the research. I might have to bring it to you. And man, if I want to procrastinate that, that'll happen. But ultimately, you know, you have that role. That was part of our hard conversation the other day. I was like, we were talking about fuckery and we're talking about, you know, intimate physical connection. And I was like, hey, I make my desires clear. I make my wants clear. That's my job in this. The way we've structured things, the rest is on you. And if we're not getting it, what are we going to do about that? And when I said we, I was like, you know who I mean, right? Like, and sometimes that's the downside, because it means that if we haven't already, I want to do an episode on responsibilities in a power exchange, because I think that it goes deeper than a lot of people think about it. It's like, okay, I just lost my own fucking train of thought. You know, I want a thing, and so that's the downside. If we've structured it so you make the decisions, and either you are not in a mental headspace to make decisions, or I am being way too fucking subtle, then I'm left dissatisfied in some way. And sometimes I feel like there's not a lot I can do about it. And that is sort of a weak spot in how this works for us.
Yeah. And, you know, what I'm going to say, too, is, you know, while a lot of times I am good at picking up subtle hints.
No, I know. You need to, like, hit a...
Sometimes I need to be hit on the head, yeah.
I know. Which works, because when I'm feeling safe and comfortable, that is my communication style.
Right.
If y'all haven't noticed in 390-some-odd episodes, I'm an over-communicator. I want to make sure you know what the fuck I mean. And poor JB gets, like, the full drinking from the fire hose
There are times I just want a simple yes or no.
You can't have that. I don't know how to do that.
I just want a yes or no.
There is
one or
no,
the other.
Because there's context, and there's reasoning, and there's, but also here are the what ifs and the contingencies. There's no such thing as just a simple yes or no.
So I have learned, in some cases, I'll just tell her, I'm going to ask you a question. I just want a yes or no answer. That's all I need.
It's another thing we've learned over the years. That's okay. I have learned that some of his not meant to be contentious reactions at all will upset the shit out of me. So when I think what I'm about to say would create that reaction, my thing is to go, okay, look, I'm going to tell you a thing. And you might feel the urge to go, oh, and do that sigh, like drop thing. I need you to not do that right now. And when I say that, he might still have the similar. He's like, oh, I'm glad you said something because I totally would have.
Yeah.
But then we can get past that, like.
And sometimes when she says, you know, I'm going to ask you something and I don't want that reaction, I'll just go.
Yeah, go ahead and give it to me.
get it out of the way and all right, let's carry on.
It works. It has worked so far. So, those are the questions. Are you feeling warm and fuzzy?
Warm, yes.
I know. I think you turned the air on.
I did.
And I'm very grateful for that.
I bumped the air down a little bit.
Almost like the universe wants us to feel real good about our decision to switch the time of the live stream. Thanks, weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to kind of think about the things that we think we're doing well and the things we enjoy about one another. And I think it's very easy to get bogged down in here's the thing we got to work on and here's the thing that we're struggling with and here's the thing that's hard.
And that's what I think those questions are good for because, yes, you know, it is easy in the day-to-day life between taking care of family, you know, work, taking care of your home, you know, what things going on with extended family. You know, it's easy to let things like that slide to the wayside, you know.
So yeah, anybody who's, you know, partnered up with anybody, especially if you haven't had a warm fuzzy in a hot minute, I recommend sitting down, playing this game on your own without an audience, and so then you can say the most uncomfortable things. We are not afraid of saying the uncomfortable thing into a microphone with our internet connection, but, you know, not everybody wants to do that, so you don't have to. That's that. Thank you, Therapy Jeff, for, you know, posting content that I then yoink for myself. Whatever. I guess we can go into a bonus section now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, are we good?
I don't know. Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
Can we talk to the crickets, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Talk to the crickets. Go ahead.
I don't have anything to say. I said we.
I know you did.
I brought you into
this. I know
this.
You did.
Okay.
But, you know, you're the word person here. I count on you.
I think I get, like, a bulk amount of words in a day. I certainly only get a limited number of clear, rational thoughts. And once I've used those up, I am screwed.
That's it, huh?
No, I think part of my problem is the stuff that is overwhelmingly on my mind and has got most of my focus is the stuff that we keep for us mostly.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, it's stuff like, first of all, I don't have a lot of close friends. It's just whatever. The only way my absolute BFF could probably get me to talk about it, she'd have to buy a pitcher of margaritas. And what she all has done for literal years is for every two I drink, she gets like half of one done. I think she realizes that if you want to get me talking, you just
need to.
The liquor needs to flow freely. But yeah, like I tend to be a person that assumes most people, and this I think is incorrect. I don't think this is how a lot of people in my life actually are, but I tend to assume most people don't want to hear it. I also don't want unsolicited advice, so the best way to not get that is to not tell people shit. But also sometimes I don't want to talk about the hard stuff. I find it easier just to let other people talk to me, and then, you know, you don't have to do a lot of talking then. Mm-hmm. I know those of you who only know me through this medium will find that difficult to believe, but I actually am a pretty good listener. Especially if I'm like, if you talk, that means I don't have to. my mind is absolutely focused on financial stuff and future goals stuff and the existential crisis of I want to be optimistic about it, but I've been burned so much by my own fucking optimism and the universe that I refuse, and it hurts my feelings that I can't be as hopeful and optimistic as I would like to be. You know, just Just fun stuff. I want to be a wide-eyed, hopeful little baby girl. But the world has fucked me just a couple of too many times, too hard, with no lube, and I just can't right now.
It's not always that easy to get where you want to be.
I'd kill for something easy right now.
I know.
And I think we're both not the only ones. I have no doubt somebody who can hear the sound of my voice is like, same, bitch. Right? I would love something easy, too.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
We are desperately trying to get Lola accustomed to having her nails done by us so that her nails do not look like nobody loves her. So we used to, it was cheap to do. We used to do grooming like once a month, every 6 weeks or so. And we'd be like, hey, please cut her nails. Well, you've got her and you are the trained professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we stopped doing that. And so we have to do it. And the giving her a bath, we found the way that she still looks at us like we have broken her heart. And we are, we just have stopped loving her. And how dare we? But we now bathe her like outside on our back patio. Because trying to do it in the bathroom was just, it was not working.
It wasn't working. It was hard for me. It's getting harder for me to, because she will not go into the tub willingly.
No.
So it's up to me to pick her up and put her in the tub.
And then I have to fold myself into a pretzel to take the shower head to get it close enough to her in the corner she's backed herself up into. And we do not have large bathtub, by the way, to get her wet. So we've taken it outside. She handled that a little bit better.
Yeah.
I think maybe she liked not feeling so closed in. And like we, because we had to be real close to her to make it work. But the nails are another thing.
Yeah.
And so we betrayed her emotions a little bit by enticing her into rolling over on her back. And she blisses out if you'll just spend some time rubbing her belly.
Yes.
Like her eyes will close. Her limbs are up in the air like a bug, but she's like real relaxed. Well, we discovered that was prime time to get, we don't have clipper things. We have the sandy Dremel-like tool for nails. And you could get in there and you could do her nails. Well, we did that a couple of times, but we couldn't finish because she'd get too antsy. And we're like, we're not trying to stress her out.
I mean, initially when I tried it, found it out because I did her front nails. And, you know, I'd rub her belly, get her bliss, and she'd just lay there and I'd you know, do a couple nails and she'd start and I'd rub and bliss her out again. And
So we decided to tag team her. But she is not stupid. And she knew what we were there to do the other day. And she would not even come in for pets at first. I had to put away the nail. I was letting her sniff the nail stuff. Like, here, you know, this should smell only like you, quite frankly. But we weren't moving real fast. We're trying to just give her love. And she's just looking at me like, I can't believe you did this to me. I can't believe you're using belly rubs against me this way.
Right.
So we, but she did let me sit and do some of her nails. But her tolerance for letting it happen is still too low.
I think what we need to do next time is let me get her.
Yes.
Because, you know, she sees me, she's going to lay down and roll over in a heartbeat.
I know. And the problem was, what I was trying to do is I was like, this is a good time. I have time to do this. Yeah. You have time to do this. Let's do this. And it would just.
Yeah. So, yeah, next time, next time, let me get in there and you know, get her well on the way to blistem.
Yeah. The cats are menaces, but we love them. The kids are okay.
Yep.
We're okay. I got nothing interesting. Nothing interesting.
So. You know, it's warming up. We've skipped spring and gone to summer. We're looking at temps most days in the upper 80s now,
and and even 90s, which that's to be expected. It's the humidity, and I don't know how I do this. Okay, anybody who gets a period will probably relate to this, and I haven't had a period in how old is my youngest? But you know how, for those of you who might experience this. You get into what would upon reflection, you would go, this is PMS. You hate everybody. And you are craving chocolate, or you're craving potato, you're craving something, and you're telling yourself, I don't really need this. And you're kind of miserable, but your emotions, and you're like, what is wrong with me? And then your period hits and you go, oh, if you can relate, that is my experience with Florida summer humidity every fucking year. Every year it starts to creep up and I'm like, I hate this and I'm miserable. What is going on? It is too early for summer-like weather. And then summer-like weather actually hits and I go, oh it was the humidity all along. And it's the same fucking feeling. And that's what it's been. The temperatures really are not that bad.
No.
It's the fucking humidity. And you walk outside and you just start to sweat. It's like
hitting a wall.
I don't like it.
Yep.
I don't like it. And yet I forget. And see, the first non-humidity day we'll have after summer is like really, it'll be the most glorious day ever experienced in my life. I will say something to the effect of, if it felt like this all the time, I would love it. It would be better. But every year. And then the first humidity day we get right before summer, I'll be like, why is it so miserable? Yeah. I don't like this. Every time.
Yep.
Every time.
Yep, yep.
So.
Oh.
Oh, that's me banging on my.
Yeah.
I don't know how it translates into sound, but sorry if you heard that.
All right.
I guess that's.
I think that's.
Yeah.
About it.
Look, when you bare your soul in the episode, there's nothing left to bear for the bonus section.
That's true.
Yeah, we're streaming on Saturday for our
Q&A.
Our kinky community. You can join there through Patreon if you'd like. But we'll be back next week at a different time, 7 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday. And maybe it will be less miserable because right now I feel like I'm melting. So we're going to go.
Yeah.
And we will talk to y'all soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being here to the bitter end. Okay, that's it. I guess I got nothing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.